black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sure. See ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com.
Is it too warm in here for you, Princess?
I am kind of a diva. I've been told that at work. I am a diva.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's warm.
I'm a diva and I'm proud of it, too.
This is like working the oil fields right here, podcasting.
Right. Perfect example.
Right. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. Got some great guests coming up. Going to be talking to Russell from the International Bigfoot Conference. Unfortunately, I have Woody here. He just won't leave. I physically can't take him away from the mic, so... I want to go ahead and apologize to the audience tonight for the inconvenience. If I could do something about it at the moment physically, I would, but it is what it is at this point.
Right. Right. I agreed to do that. Here's the thing is I agreed to do this and I haven't eaten since 8:00 in the morning.
Right.
So this would probably be your best time to go ahead and try to throw me away from this mic.
I think I got some fruit snacks.
Wait a minute. What'd you say? You said this is the unfortunately. Is that what you said? Is that how you said it?
You misheard.
Right. I'll play this back afterwards.
Yeah. No, thanks for being here, Wood. I tease. But I love having you on the show. And it's fun to break your balls because I can't break the balls of the guests. And it's nice to have you here just as a beating post for me verbally so I can come unglued on you. But
thank you, I think.
It's hot, man. It's hot. I can't believe how hot the, I don't want to sound like all the other Bigfoot podcasts where they spend 20 minutes talking about the heat. But no one in my real life will let me sit and complain about the heat except for the audience. They're kind of forced to sit here and listen to me. And you better not skip ahead. Listener, this part's important.
Yeah, fast forward.
This part's important. Yeah, don't fast forward. This part's important. I've struggled all week. It's been hot. I've had 2 AC units and I've had a fan. Call me white trash. Go ahead.
Yeah,
that's what I'm telling you.
I think you might be the diva.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know about that, yeah. But anyway, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out... was that your stomach?
It really was. I'm so sorry for that.
All right. Well, take two. Where was that? Jesus Christ, man.
You're not going to play that, right?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not going to. It's going to play.
This is where we do the editing magic, right?
No, there's no editing. This is live, baby.
Oh, man.
If you get a chance, check out Sasquatch Chronicles.
No, stop. We're not going to do that. We're going to edit this out.
I'm sorry. If you go to SasquatchChronicles.com, there's a shop at the top, and I want to apologize. I don't have any like trail mix. I don't have any, you're going to find a lot of nice clothing. You're going to find some high quality gear, but you won't find any snacks. I know Woody's hurting for a snack.
I have not eaten since 8:00 this morning, man. So.
Should we I can play some elevator music for about 10 minutes if you want to grab something.
Oh, my gosh.
Where was I at, man? You threw me off.
You had me at fruit snacks earlier, so...
I think I had some fruit snacks. Your son gave them to me.
Oh, my gosh.
I have them somewhere. They're delicious, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They make hell of a fruit snacks nowadays. I don't know if you know that or not, but the people that make fruit snacks, they know what they're doing. They got it down to a science. You're right. You don't sound like you're breathing over there.
Yeah, I'm good. That's just embarrassing, man. Anyways, moving forward.
Yeah, moving forward.
Moving forward.
You're listening to a Bigfoot show, believe it or not, and we will get into it. But speaking of the store, like I said, there's no trail mix, but there's great merchandise. There's great all kinds of cool gear. If you get a chance, check it out, SasquatchChronicles.com. And if you've had an encounter, definitely email me, Wes@SasquatchChronicles.com. And I'm looking forward to the International Bigfoot Conference. Why the blank stare?
Because. What do you think?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I might as well just belched on the air and you're like, this is good to go.
It is what it is.
All right.
Listen, I'm good at editing, but I'm not Jesus. I can't like just fix everything. You know what I mean?
It's hot in here, man.
Yeah.
It's so hot in here. Oh, God.
These are the conditions I work under, Princess. Right.
It's no oil field.
I realize it's warm in the studio. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. This is what I deal with every day, folks. Every day. Anything else you'd like? Anything else you want to put me down about? So I had, I was going through my Facebook the other night, right? And I got this message from an individual. I'm not going to name his name, but he was, I think he might have been confused a little bit with the Sasquatch Chronicles, Renegade Podcast type thing, Weston Woody or whatever. But he was saying that he was really involved in one of our podcasts that we did. I'm taking the Renegade Podcast because there were several topics that we were talking about, and it was boom, boom, one topic after the next, after the next, after the next. And I feel really bad because it seems like we talk about this a lot, but it never really happens. But I just want to say thanks to that individual. He is also listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. I want to say thank you for the kind words, and eventually we'll get back to the Renegade Podcast once things kind of calm down in my life a little bit here. But I just want to give a shout out to that individual. I'm not going to say his name. He asked me not to say it, so... there will be more shows coming. And with that, I want to say thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, unidentified listener. We really appreciate it.
Oh, so you're calling me out. Calling me out. I see where we're going with this.
No, I get a lot of comments about the Renegade Podcast too.
I'll pull it up right now.
I believe you. You know, all I get on Facebook is I get a lot of, dudes pretending to be women and then they'll send me friend requests. And like, you can tell.
Is there something we need to talk about?
You don't get those? Where it's obviously not the person. They like just started their...
Say that I have.
Okay. All right.
So they're dudes pretending to be women.
But you know what I mean? It's like...
Not really.
Don't turn this into something dirty. You know what I'm talking about.
You started
stop
it.
Pretending
you
like
freaking started it, man.
Stop pretending like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. When you get the friend request and you're like, okay, this is really isn't the right... This person doesn't exist. Like she's got double D's... She's got 10 friends, and she's from, like,
she's from
Croatia or, some
country or city that you've never heard of ever before.
Yeah.
And then she has, like, the same 5 pictures all the way down her...
Right. Right. Or she'll have, like,
I still don't know what you're talking about.
And you're like, come on, this isn't... You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Every day I look at it, and I'm like, what are we doing? I don't even accept
friends. You just hope that they would delete it and go away. But it never happens. It stays up. It
stays and when you delete the friend request, it just comes back, and you're like, you know, it's some guy from India, and you're like, just post your picture. You know what I mean? We can be friends on Facebook. You don't got to go through this whole, you know what I mean? I've had dates that were less work than sometimes friend requests are on Facebook.
Oh man, I can't say that I have that too much. Well, you're better you're better looking than me.
Yeah, well, maybe that's true.
Maybe that's true. Maybe they prefer something.
But you know what I mean. You don't get those like you don't have like these odd.
No, I do.
Friend
I do.
Requests, and you're like,
and I'm the first to say no way. So I'm thinking like within I give it like
I'm usually like, well, she's a good looking girl. We'll give it a shot. We'll see how this works out. Because they're not usually not ugly pictures. So you're like, we'll give it a shot.
It's usually model material.
Yeah. We'll go, you know, we'll side on the
We'll go
and
with.
And then you try to research what her name, what her family is, what her mom and dad are, her sisters. Yeah. And like, there's nothing there.
Right. In one conversation in chat, and all of a sudden my credit card's like being used by someone in
you're China. You're in bankruptcy like 3 weeks later.
for a goddamn friend request on Facebook.
No, man. Those were horrible. Those were horrible. Ridiculous. For sure.
Anyway, welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles. Let's bring Russell on. I'm going to, Russell Accord from the International Bigfoot Conference. And people go to the internationalbigfootconference.com, get your tickets. Woody and I will be out there. And as I mentioned in the last show, I want to see Woody get beat in some poker.
Right.
And beat badly.
Right.
Come on out.
Wes, here's the thing with Wes. Let me break it down for you. He plays video poker. Video poker. And he thinks he's the machine. It's a whole different story when you put him down in front of a table, in front of a large group of people, and we start playing.
Right.
We'll see. We'll see how your video poker skills stand up at IBC.
Oh, they'll stand up.
We'll see.
They'll stand up. I don't just play video poker. I set a tables too when I can.
Yeah, and who usually wins? I do.
Oh, brother. Anyway, let's get Russell on.
I think Russell could probably actually vouch for that at the last conference. Let's ask him. Bring him on. Let's ask Russell what his professional opinion is.
Professional opinion. All right. Let's bring him on. That's my elevator music. Which line is he on? Oh, wait a minute. I got it. I want to welcome Russell Accord to the show. Russell, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate being here.
And Woody and I have a little side bet going here. Before we brought you on, who would you say is a better poker player? Would you say it's me, or would you say it's Woody? And we'll let you...
Careful, Russell.
Careful. No intimidation. You quiet over there. Okay. And we'll let Russell decide. Go ahead, Russell. Tell him.
I can decide right now. Look, you know, I've thought about this a lot. I've watched how you guys interact, and I've really paid attention to your stats.
Right.
And just for the record, I'm going to tell you right now, I can kick both of your asses.
Oh, my God. I wasn't expecting that.
But if you had to choose.
See, you...
If you had to
choose. If I had to choose?
Yeah.
What's this kind of, if I had to choose, I'd still choose me. I'd put the three of us at the poker table together, and you guys would be left sitting in just your socks and no money.
Come on,
man. Really?
Oh, see, you underestimate the guy that puts on the conference.
After last year, after you saw me just mop Wes.
It, what?
That's pretty much how it happened, right?
Okay, I've actually heard, I'll be honest with you, I've heard more about Wes's winnings than Woody's.
Oh, my God.
If I had to throw money out there, because Woody, if you're good, we would have heard more about it, but you've been awful quiet about being an amazing poker player.
We'll go with that.
That's kind of funny. Wes has the biggest Bigfoot show out there. Sure, it's funny. He's the magical poker player.
No, I like it. Russell's an honest man. I like that.
You guys kill me.
We'll go with that. Russell, do you? I saw the Bob Gimlin documentary. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, this summer I took the summer off. I work at a nuclear reservation. I took the summer off, took 4 months, and I spent that time with Bob Gimlin because I think that it was about time that somebody sat down with him in front of a camera and talked a little bit different about not just Bigfoot, but the kind of things that you touch on, Wes, when you interview him. I wanted to know more about Bob beyond the incident at Bluff Creek. I wanted to actually talk to him about where he was born and what got him from point A to 50 years or 85 years later when we talked to him. You know, he's got a tremendous background, some amazing stories and some just real close calls. It's just an awesome summer to spend with him.
I wanted to ask you, so is the thing about Bob Gimlin's life, does it include the Patty film? The whole...
Absolutely. We touched on that. Just looking at the recording and finishing everything out, by the time we hit the tail end credits, it's about a 2-hour documentary. It's almost 120 minutes. And we touch on where he was born, his time in the Navy. And then we actually start a chapter when Bob meets Roger, and that chapter, or that sequence of just storytelling coming from Bob is just amazing. How they met, what, you know, on the rodeo district, and kind of touching bases back and forth. And then when Roger finally said, "Hey, I want to go down and check out," because they found different size footprints, and Bob was able to get off work and away they went. And the rest, that piece of it is, we touch on that quite a bit, to where you get to hear that story. But then after that, you know, the things that have happened to him since then, just kind of being, kind of stayed out of the limelight, some things that went up and down in his life. And then coming back into it in about 2003, when he got invited to a conference, and he realized that it wasn't something that he had to just kind of stay away from people. It was something that they were embracing. So it was a great coming out into the light and being embraced by the public in 2003, because his story and his journey is amazing, just absolutely amazing. And being able to hear the side pieces of it, of when he, you know, after the footage, and how he got off that hillside and covering the tracks and trying to get castings, and the rain that came out. And it's just an amazing story. But following through with that and going into where we talk to him today, and he's at these conferences, it's just, when you walk away from this documentary, you walk away with that feeling of, wow, I didn't know that about Bob. And you're picking up details, and it's to kind of make you feel a little bit more like you know more about the man behind the story. And it's just amazing.
And for the audience out there, if they go to bobgimlin.net, you can actually buy a copy of the documentary, and I can't wait. I'm actually going to buy a copy of it, and I can't wait to watch it. Bob is one of those guys, for the audience out there, if they're going to the International Bigfoot Conference, forget meeting Woody. I mean, that's an easy one. Mm-hmm. Forget meeting me. That's another easy one. Mm-hmm. Skip over Russell. If you get a chance, go meet Bob Gimlin. He is one of the nicest guys out there. I mean, one of the coolest guys. Wouldn't you say, Wood?
Absolutely. I think he is. You know, Bob is the type of guy, when you talk to him, he just captivates you. He really does, because he has so many stories and so many experiences. And you know what? All in all, the guy's a great guy along with all that. So he really is the full package as far as being a great individual. I will say that for sure.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, he's definitely authentic. He's authentic. He's kind. He's thoughtful. And when he starts speaking, it's more about he gives you the information. And I've heard people talk. Maybe I'm one of those people, but have you ever noticed when somebody starts speaking, you can kind of nod off quickly, because whatever they're talking about can bore you to tears. Bob is not that way. When he starts speaking, and he covers so much ground in such a short amount of time, and he tells a story, you get so caught up in it, and you get visually what he's saying. He's very articulate in how he can explain it, and you can feel it, sense it. It's all there, and he's great to talk to. And he will be there at the International Bigfoot Conference. And if you don't see anybody else at the conference, make sure you shake hands with that man. He is an icon.
Hands down.
Definitely.
Hands down for sure.
I'll try and take it easy on this time around when I see him.
Don't squeeze him, Wes.
Yeah. Or as Woody says, I slap the crap out of him.
Poor guy. And that's another thing. He is one of the toughest guys I know, man. So some of the stories he has is just unbelievable. If you can grab Bob Gimlin for 5 minutes and just talk to him, it's a pleasure for sure. I mean, it's one of the best. It's the best 5 minutes you'll ever have of your life for sure.
Yeah.
And I know you're right about Bob being tough. This last weekend, I said, "Bob, I'm passing through. I'm going to stop by and see you. How's you need any help with anything?" And he said, "Well, sure, you can run along with me." Well, Bob was going to load 50 bales of hay on the back of a flatbed trailer and take it out and unload it. Now, you all know how heavy a bale of hay is. He was going to load it, tie it down, take it down the highway, and unload it. Now, I had one of my buddies with me, and between the three of us, there was a gal that was there that was kind of rolling him out to where we could get our hands on him. But we loaded up his trailer, and he can throw a bale of hay from the ground up two tiers on top of a trailer.
Unbelievable.
He just gets it done. He's old school. I think if that man stopped moving, he would completely stop moving. But he stays so active and so physical and so so in shape that it would take a team of horses to slow him down.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. But
well, he has the spirit and the willpower to run with the best of them. He really does. He has more spirit and just tenacity to keep going with you, Woody, me. I mean, he'll keep up with us. But his body, he's 85 years old. He'll be 86 in October.
Is he really 86?
His body is not going to allow him to do the things that he always wanted to do. But not for lack of trying, he will keep going until he just stops. You know, he's a steam train.
You'd never know he was that old. I mean, when you talk to him and when you meet him, he's such a strong guy and he's such a rock. You know what I mean? He would never guess he's an 86-year-old man. But I can't wait to see him out at the International Bigfoot Conference. And I know for the audience, again, go to the International Bigfoot Conference, buy your tickets. It's well worth it. It's more than worth it. Woody and I were out there last year. We had a great time. Russell puts on, I've been to a couple conferences and I've never been to one this nice or this well put together.
A plus for sure. The conference, yeah, Russell, awesome. Last time we were there, Wes and I were both, extremely impressed on the show that you put on. And I'm looking forward to getting this time.
I appreciate that, guys. Hey, by the way, speaking of how we started this thing off with that whole Booker plan bit, I did talk to the facility about renting out that smaller conference room that's right beside the bar. They're going to set up a couple of round tables for us, and you guys are going to get your game on. And we're going to have to we have to shut up or put up. So it's time to break out the cards and see who comes out on top. We'll get some prizes that we can give to everybody that's there. So it'll be a lot of fun.
And I'll bring some prizes.
And bring your checkbook, too.
I think we know who's going to end up on top. I mean, between the three of us, I don't want to say it to the audience because I want people to come and have a good time. But we know who's going to win.
And I don't mind giving my prizes back to the audience. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I end up winning, which, that's probably how it's going to end up. Mm-hmm. I'll give my prizes back. I'll give you something nice, Russell, for coming along.
Reaching. You're reaching,
brother. You're reaching.
Oh, man. But if you get a chance, go to bobgimlin.net. Definitely pick up the documentary. If you get a chance, go to sasquatchchronicles.com. I got a link to it there. And it's a cool documentary. Very well put together. And I can't wait to get a copy. I can't wait to watch it, actually. I wish it was done now. I wish I could watch it tonight. Because it is Bob, he's very fascinating. You know, the show you and I did, Russell, where we had Bob on, he was talking about knowing Evel Knievel. He was talking about different things in his life. I got so much positive feedback on the show, and I really didn't think I would, because we didn't really talk about Bigfoot. We just talked about Bob Gimlin's life. And I got a ton of, I don't think I got any negative feedback on that show. So I hope people go out and get the documentary.
Now, that documentary, actually, if you go on bobgimlin.net, there is a nice little almost a minute and 40-second trailer that kind of gives you a little taste of what's in the documentary. And it's when you see that, if that doesn't convince you, I don't know what could. It's a nice little trailer.
Again, it's bobgimlin.net and the International Bigfoot Conference.com. Russell, thanks for coming on, man. I apologize that Woody's here.
Thanks, gentlemen. You guys are awesome.
It is what it is.
Get your plan. Practice with your cards, guys, because you're going to need the practice. I don't think for a second that the three of us are going to walk in that room and play poker and there's not going to be some solid competition. So
yeah. Well, I'm just
I know there's some good players out there. Is that it?
Yeah, I just do online. Well, that's what was said earlier.
Yeah, we'll see. I look forward to seeing you next month, though, Russell. I look forward to seeing
Absolutely.
You.
All right, guys. Stay out of the smoke. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Take care, guys. Bye.
And let's jump into tonight. I want to welcome Mike to the show. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you very much, Wes.
And I really appreciate being here. I know your encounter took place in Mississippi. How did you find this research area? I want to get into these things following you back to your home and your sightings. But I think it's important to kind of give the backstory. So your research area is about 50 miles away from your home. How did you find it? And what were some of the things you experienced in that area?
Well, I met this guy and who lived in Mississippi that was took enough interest in convincing me that Sasquatch existed, and he told him I wasn't so sure about it, and he said that he would prove it to me. So I met him at his house, and we went out to that national forest. He started doing some calls and got an answer, and then over a period of 4 hours, he did like 3 calls, and every time it answered him, and it was closer each 3 times. And then right when we got ready to leave, we both turned to get back in my car, and something whooped at us one time. It just went whoop from about maybe 20 to 30 feet. It was just like right inside the wood line. And we both just jumped in the car and came back home. And that was the very first thing that happened, the very first night I ever knew that there was something really out there. And that was in 2010.
What was going through your mind at the time? Because I know you were kind of skeptical of the whole thing. And here's this guy saying he's going to take you out. You guys go out. He's calling to something. It's calling back. What's going through your mind at this point?
Well, when at first I just thought it was somebody, you know, just when he did that yell, I thought it was just somebody yelling back. And then it started getting closer, and I was starting to think differently. And then right there when we got whooped at, I mean, that was, it made my stomach jump up into my throat. And so I knew there was something, because I had heard, you know, I had heard sounds like that before on the internet and on YouTube, and it sounded just like what people had experienced. And it just surprised me and shocked me that it was so close to us. And so that made a believer out of me right there. So we just kept going out there. Something would happen every time we went out there. We'd get breaks or wood knocks or whoops or, you know, something every time we went out there.
Yeah, it's easy to get addicted to it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a rush.
And before you get into what was going on around your home, on this area, I know he ended up leaving. He went to a different state, and you continued in this area. What kind of things happened in this area? What were some of the things you did, and what are some of the experiences you had in this area?
Well, you have to understand one thing. I was very naive at this time, and I didn't know what not to do. I didn't know enough to be frightened at the time. And, you know, I think I kind of thought they were, you know, the friendly, furry woodland people at the time. I just didn't know, you know. I you know, 411 books hadn't been written or any. I hadn't listened to but just a few Sasquatch Chronicles back then. And or whenever it started coming out, you know, I think I started with the third episode or the third or fourth episodes when I first started listening to y'all. And so I don't know, you know, what year that was, but it was back there. But I didn't see anything for a long time. You know, every time I went out there and tried to see something, I never saw something, but I would always hear something. I'll hear a stomp or a huge boulder or something getting thrown. It sounded like maybe a horse or a rhinoceros stomping its foot. And I would look, and I wouldn't see anything. I would go down this trail, and every single time I would go to this certain spot, I would get one wood knock on my way in. And then when I was coming back out, I would get a wood knock in the same place on my way out. It's like I was being announced when I went in and went out. I started taking fruit out there. I didn't know any better at the time. I just, you know, I was said it was stupid to do in retrospect. Then once I went out there and didn't take food, and that was the time I got maybe followed.
When you say that, home. What do you mean? What happened?
I went out there and I had been taking food out there and putting it in a cooler and hiding it behind these bushes. And I had forgotten my wallet this one time, and I didn't have any food to take out there. So I just said, well, I'm already out here, so I'm just going to check and see if they took the food from last time. Well, the cooler was open and it was upside down. I just put it right side up and closed the top down, but didn't lock it, and just started walking back to my car. And I got about halfway back to the car, and I started hearing some noises that I'd never heard before. It sounded like kind of like monkeys at the zoo, like the chimpanzee exhibit at the zoo, just the way they scream and stuff. I started walking faster, and then on either side of the woods, on either side of me, it sounded like elephants or rhinoceroses were running. And so I started running back to my car, and I got scared. And I could see my car. About the time I could see it, something screamed at me, and it sounded like it was right behind me. And it sounded like an African lion. And another second or two, it sounded like a bull elephant trumpeting. And then it got even higher and sounded like a woman being hurt or being murdered or something, just really, really high pitched scream. And I felt it as much as I heard it. It went completely through me and shook my insides, and I could feel my organs vibrating. I fell down on my knees and threw up, and I got back up and, got in my car and drove home, the 50 miles home. I was, not feeling well at all. I was real dizzy, and I felt like kind of like electricity had, I'd been shocked or something. I don't know really how to explain it any better. I just felt like I was like an electrical field was around me, sort of. Anyway, so I get home and told my girlfriend about it. She was a complete skeptic, and she said, Yeah, I'm tired of hearing you chasing imaginary monkeys around in the woods. You know, you could be doing something more productive with your time. I said, no, you don't understand. Something really happened tonight. She said, let's go to bed, and it's time to go to sleep anyway. So it was about 10:30. So we went to bed, and about 11:30, something hit the side of my house real hard, and it sounded like a limb or something hitting the house, and we both sat straight up in the bed, and it was really loud. Our girlfriend said, a limb must have fallen off and hit the house. And I said, well, maybe there's no trees around. The trees are on the other side of the driveway. You know, they don't even hang over that far enough to where if a limb fell off, it would hit the house. So she said, well, go look and see if there's any damage to the house. So I get a flashlight and I'll walk around all the way around the house. And I didn't see anything. It didn't look like anything had hit the house or no limb, no rocks, nothing. And I just came back inside and got back in the bed, and we got settled down again, and bam, something hit the house again. And you know, it started doing it like every 10 minutes or so. It did it till 3 in the morning, and it did it 3 nights in a row. It would start at about 11 or 11:30 at night, and it would go till about 3 or 3:30. And by that third night, we were pretty freaked out about it. All my girlfriend wanted me to call the police and go out there and do something, and I didn't know what to do. She said, well, you know, if calling the police is not an option, then you need to go outside and apologize to those damn things. I said, well, I thought you didn't believe in it. And she said, well, there's something hitting the house. Something's either throwing the house or hitting the house, throwing something at the house or hitting the house. And it's been going on for three nights now. So you need to go outside and apologize. She was just completely, by the third night, she was very, very freaked out and scared. So I go out there feeling like an idiot. And just, I said, look, I'm sorry, you know, please quit hitting the house. I didn't have any food to bring out there. I didn't mean to disrespect y'all. Just, you know, you're scaring my girlfriend to death, and we need to get some sleep. Please just let us sleep. And, as soon as I got through saying that, a little acorn or a little pebble or something hit the house right by my head. It's like plink. And from then on, nothing else happened, you know, as far as like hitting the house. But I started seeing shadows and big, dark, black voids back in the woods behind my house. I lived on 2.5 acres. There's 10 acres right behind my house of nothing but just thick woods. And there's a creek right there that flows right into the Pearl River. And the Pearl River was up in that national forest, and 50 miles later, it's, you know, swinging by my house. So they could, you know, come right up the Pearl River, up that creek, and be right behind my house. And I started seeing them behind my house after this happened pretty regularly. I would see shadows, and every now and then they would be, it would be clear enough to where I could see an actual shape. I saw three of them one night standing right next to each other, and two of them looked about to be about 6 to 7 feet tall, and there was one that was just way bigger, just huge. But, you know, it never was in the daytime, so all I saw was I either heard them or saw those, you know, where they were, but I couldn't see anything clearly because it was like probably 100 and 120 feet from my back porch to the where the wood line started. And they would just come up there, and I would hear them stomping back there. It sounded like rhinoceros or elephants stomping back and forth, just running back and forth back there. So I know that there were three back there, and I suspect there may have been more. But all I ever saw was three.
When they showed up to your property, do you think that it was coincidence? Because Mississippi's known for boogers or Sasquatch or Bigfoot, whatever you want to call it, is very well known for the creature. Do you think it's coincidence that they showed up on your property, or do you think it's directly related to the area that you were looking into?
I don't know, Wes. I can't say for sure, but it's very coincidental if it is.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was very, very odd. And I started finding footprints back there. Now, there was a muddy little path that went down there, and I found a 14-inch footprint back there, just one. And it had the, what was so odd about it was the big toe on it was about three times the size of a regular adult man's big toe. I mean, it was just huge. And then, one morning I went out there, and I've got stepping stones, a path of big stepping stones right off of my back deck. And there was one wet footprint that was 17 inches. And I sat there. I mean, I stood there and looked at it and watched it evaporate over a period of about 10 minutes. So whatever it was had obviously just been up by the house, because that was definitely a footprint. It was like a wet, you know, wet dew footprint. So I don't know.
No, I understand. It is very coincidental that they, you know, the moment you leave your area, you come home, and all of a sudden they, you know, something's banging on the house. I would imagine if nothing had ever banged on the house before, I could see how you could draw a conclusion to that. You know, I think sometimes with coincidences, it's easy to draw a conclusion to it. But I think for people listening, and until you're in that person's position, you know, you can't really say one way or another. It's hard to say. I could definitely understand how you would feel. You know, you went out, asked them to stop. And to the audience, that probably sounds crazy, but I've heard that before. I mean, that's not too far off.
I'm sure it sounds odd. It sounds odd to me. And it sounded like an odd thing to do when she suggested it. But you have to understand, this had been going on. It didn't just happen once or twice. It happened three nights in a row. And we were pretty much at our wit's end by this time. You know, we weren't sleeping. We were frightened. And we were pretty freaked out about the whole deal, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, what do? Call the cops and say someone's banging on your house? I mean,
that's not an option.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything about it. Tell me about the first time you saw them on the property.
Well, I went out back and I was playing with my cats. I've got four kitty cats, and I was just out there playing with them. And I heard, it sounded like one rhinoceros was on the right side of my property back in the woods, running from left to right, and another one was running from right to left. When they stopped, kind of walked, stood up and looked back there, and I could see two black objects. You know, there's like a little, an old shed that was back there on the back part of the property back in the woods that was there when we moved there. And they, one was on one side of it and the other one was on the other side, about 20 feet over to the left of it. And it just looked like 6-7 foot tall, black, human shaped objects. But I couldn't tell any detail. I could just tell that there was somebody or something standing there. You know, two of them.
I bet that's a real eye opener.
Yeah, I called a few friends, and they're like, well, they were just, one girl said, well, they were just seeing what you would do. You know, you didn't run inside and get a gun and start blasting at them, so they're probably going to hang around there now. And they did.
Yeah, but when someone says that, it's like, how do you know that? You know what I mean? Like, how do you?
I know. It's just, that's a complete, I thought it was just, her being, trying to be a know-it-all. But, I don't know. It's, I don't know what these things are, but
What's your personal opinion? What do you think that they are?
I wish.
There's nothing wrong. There's no wrong answer, obviously.
I've gone back and forth. I thought they were some unknown, gigantopithecus. And then after all the things that I've been through, I'm starting to think there's something different. I don't know. No. I believe in God, so I'm inclined to think something Old Testament, but I don't really know. There's no way of knowing. They may be some kind of remnant of that, or some kind of way experiment from eons ago. Who knows? I don't know. But they do stuff, Wes, that no other animal on the face of the earth does.
Like what?
Like hide behind trees and peek at you. No wild animal does that. Beings.
That's true. Yeah.
They don't sneak up on you. They don't crawl on the ground and look like the biggest spider you've ever seen in your life, on their hands and fingers and toes and freak you out, and make noises at you and seem like they're just messing with you. Deer don't do that. Elk don't do that. Raccoons don't do that. If you see them, they're gone, buddy. And these things just, display bizarre behavior.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. There is a lot of strange behavior. I've said it many times on the show where I've interviewed people, and the Sasquatches will come up, watch people from behind trees, and the minute that the Sasquatch realizes that the humans know that it's there, it'll get up and walk off. And it's that's just, you're right, that's not normal behavior. If a grizzly bear or a cougar or any other predator on the planet is going to come in and check you out, you're in big trouble because it's not coming in for curiosity. It's coming in because it's hungry or it's sick or there's something wrong with it. And that's really why a predator will show up. Even your most fierce predators, like here in Washington State, our cougars are bigger than most dogs. Rarely will you ever see one. And if you see one, you're probably in trouble, because if it's not running the opposite way, you're probably in big trouble. And you're right.
You're on the menu.
Yeah, you're on the menu. And mm-hmm. with these things, it sure is odd that they do a lot of sometimes seems like very human-like behavior, and then sometimes it seems very animalistic-type behavior. There's really no in-between. And it is odd. I agree with you 100%. I don't mean to go off on a rampage here, but I agree with you. Yeah, they do very odd things. When was your next sighting on your property?
Well, in the wake of everything that happened, 6 days after this happened, I had a mild heart attack after the house beating incident and the screaming at me out there. 6 days after that, I woke up and thought I had heartburn, and it turned out I had a heart attack and I had to go to the hospital. And then after I recovered from the heart attack, I contracted West Nile virus. So there was about a year and a half where I couldn't work and I didn't go out there. And then when I started going out there again, I damn sure didn't take any more food out there. By this time, I'd done a whole lot of more learning and research and stuff and investigation. And I knew how stupid I'd been by, you know, taking food out there. I was just really, really dumb on my part. But you know, I at the time, I just didn't know any better. So, you know, I recovered and everything, and I got my nerve back, and I started going out there and venturing out, and would go maybe, I wasn't going every 10 days to 2 weeks, but I'd go out there, you know, once or twice a month, maybe. And this one particular time I was walking down the game trail, and saw I thought was a little baby black bear off to the right in the woods, kind of sniffing or looked like he was rooting something up with his head. And I could just see his little rear end sticking up. And I thought, well, that's odd to see a bear in Mississippi, but there's nothing back there. There's the Pearl River's over there in Louisiana, not too far away. So, you know, I guess they just come over the river from Louisiana and here they are. And then, so I was going to see how close I could get to it. And then I thought better of it. And I said, well, if there's a little, where's mama, you know? And then I started getting a little scared, and I was just going to turn around and go back. And I stepped on a stick. And when I did that, this little thing jumped up and spun around and jumped across. It wasn't a bear. It looked like a 2-foot, 2.5-foot little chimpanzee. And it spun around. It jumped up in the air, spun around, went back on his legs and sprung all the way across the path so fast. It moved faster than any deer or any animal that I've ever seen in my life. It looked freakishly fake, almost like a special effect. It happened so quick. And that completely put my stomach in my throat. And, but it had happened so fast, I was like, what on earth, you know? And so about halfway between where that little one was back toward me on the left, there was a thicket on the other side of the woods of blackberry bushes that were about 6.5 to 7 feet high. And I started hearing noticing a buzzing, just this real low buzzing. And I was thinking about all the stuff Scott Carpenter had said and other people about infrasound and Kumbo. I'm like, oh God, man, I'm fixing to get hit with infrasound, you know? I'm like, no, please, you know? But then I listened and it wasn't like that. I wasn't feeling anything. I just heard a buzzing. And I thought I saw something, and I looked over those blackberry bushes, and there was this huge pine tree behind them. And there was a cloud of flies about 3 feet, 4 feet above the blackberry bushes, just thousands of, I don't know if they were horse flies or house flies or what, but it was some kind of flies that were just there in a cloud buzzing. And you know how your mind, you can see something and your mind tries to put it, pigeonhole it into something that you're familiar with.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And, So I saw something on the side of that tree about 3 to 4 feet above those blackberry bushes. And I was thinking, well, that's way too tall to be something. So I was thinking, is it a squirrel? Because it looked gray, but then the top part of it was black. And what it was, as I looked and focused on it a little more, it was half of a face sticking out behind that tree. And I still wasn't believing what I was seeing. I took one step closer and was trying to focus on to make sure I was seeing what I thought I was seeing, because I was still scared from seeing that little thing jump like that. And this big thing just stepped out from behind that pine tree. And as soon as it did, I mean, I almost threw up again, because it wasn't what I expected it didn't look like what I was thinking that I would see if I ever saw one in the daytime, but it looked like it had a short, not like real long dreadlocks, but it looked like it had like it was trying to grow like a short Bob Marley type thing. The way his hair looked, it was blonde, but the rest of him, well, I could see him from like the chest up, and he looked gray down there, but the hair on top of his head was black, and one of his eyes was messed up. It looked like he'd been in a fight or something. He had one eye that cocked off way to the outside of his head, and the other eye was looking straight at me, and he looked like he had a regular hooded nose like we do, except it was a lot bigger and a lot more spread out over his face. Now, the only thing about this thing that looked apish was how wide his mouth was. He had an extremely large mouth. And you have to understand, I was not standing there looking at him. As soon as he stood out, I just looked down. And then I would like take quick glances up at him as I was looking down, because I thought I was getting ready to be killed. I mean, this thing was so large that it completely, I've never experienced anything like that before at that range, at that close of a range that looked like that. It was just absolutely freaking huge. It had to be over 9 feet tall. It had to be. His head was big. Its traps were huge. His head, chest. His chest was big. It did not have any hair on its pectorals, but the skin looked like ashen color, like an ashen gray. And his left deltoid, I could see really, really well, and it looked like a butt cheek or a huge basketball. I mean, it was. I can't sit here and tell you how big it was and make you understand how much bigger this thing was than me. He was five times my size. He was ungodly huge. He had to weigh, that thing had to weigh 1,000 pounds. If it weighed an ounce, and I kept doing like little looks up. I wanted to run, but I was scared to move. And he stood there, I guess it probably about 5 seconds. And then the last time I looked up at him, he curled his lips back and kind of huffed at me. And then he just turned around, and it looked like he just kind of was like on an escalator or something. It looked like he just went into the forest, and it just kind of, the forest just enveloped him, and he just kind of, he was gone. And as soon as I couldn't see him anymore, I just hauled ass. I ran back to my car and went home. And
yeah, I don't blame you. Did the little one run to this larger creature? Do you know?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see that. What I saw the little one do was jump and twist, and then hit his back feet, and then spring off like he hit a diving board. But he jumped, and as he jumped, he arced all the way across 4 to 6 feet in the air, all the way across the path to the side of the forest that the big one was on, but he was way up the path from where the big one was. And I didn't hear him like hit and then run off. He just, and he was gone. I never heard anything else or saw him.
Did the little one run off on four legs or two?
When I first saw him, he was on four because I thought it was a bear. And then when I stepped on that stick, he jumped up and sprang up on two, and he sprang off like he was flying. You know, I mean, that's what it looked like. He just, he leaped so strongly, and it happened so quickly that it was just zip. You know, it was a really, really quick glance. Once I made that noise, he got the heck out of there, you know, and that was it. But I didn't hear him hit and then scamper off. You know, it didn't seem like I heard him running through the leaves. He just leapt, and as he leaped, that was it. It was just like he hit, and I didn't hear anything else, and I didn't see anything else. Yeah. The Mississippi forest in the summertime is very, very thick.
Oh, yeah. No, I can imagine. Yeah. And I would imagine seeing that larger one, you know, it sounds like the ugliest thing possible, especially at the busted eye. When it was looking,
oh my God.
At it. But when you saw it, did it be beyond the huge jaw? If someone were to ask you, what did you see? What would you tell them? Let's say Sasquatch. The term Sasquatch didn't exist. Bigfoot. No one knows what you're talking about. If you were just to tell someone what you saw, how would you describe it to them? Especially that larger one.
I'd say I saw it. I saw a giant man in the forest that looked like he was had a hair jumpsuit on, you know, and he had dreadlocks, short dreadlocks on his hair, and he had a huge jaw. His eye was messed up like that Western actor Jack Elam. That's what it looked like. It looked like Jack Elam with a little bit of a apish mouth. The only thing about this thing that it didn't look like the ones up there in the Pacific Northwest or the ones up that I've seen pictures of here in Colorado. It looked all messed up. It didn't have a neck, but man, it was muscular. Let me tell you that. And it was huge. But so I would say it looked more human like than monkey like or apish. The only thing that looked ape about it was its mouth was so wide.
Yeah. And you hear a lot of witnesses say that. And going back to what you and I were just talking about, that's not normal behavior. You know, you come across a cub of a grizzly bear, and you're best to go the opposite way as quickly as possible, because mama's probably not too far off. And even if you're in the general area and you come across a cub and a grizzly bear's there, you're going to pay the price for it. It's going to probably come after you because it's going to see you as a threat.
Yeah.
And that this thing didn't, you didn't notice any breasts or anything on it, did you?
No, this was a dude. This was a male. It was a male. No, it had a bare chest, but I didn't see, you know, it looked like someone who had taken way too many steroids. The way Brock Lesnar's traps do, you know, that's the way this thing looked. Like its traps were halfway up his head, and his shoulders were, it was just enormous. It was way too big to be, God, I don't know. It's just, poof.
And for the audience, this isn't by your home. This is back in your research area, correct?
Yeah, this is right. It was in the research area, and that I don't even. You know, of course, I don't live there anymore, but I quit going out there because I heard so many encounters where, you know, people said, you know, you don't ever need to go out there alone, and I had always gone out there alone, and I started thinking, now I'm really pushing my luck, so I quit going out there, and then. You know, Dad got sick and I ended up moving up here. So I don't know. I've heard there's some right up at Estes Park. I'm about 40 minutes from Estes Park here in Colorado, and I can't wait to get out there and do a little research, but I haven't done any yet.
I've actually had witnesses on that had encounters at that Estes Park. They're mm-hmm. definitely out there. I've noticed in Colorado, you don't get quite the aggression.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Well, I've noticed that a lot of times when I talk to witnesses, you don't quite get the aggression you do in many other places. But and I think if they were going to hurt you, they would have done it, especially when you were that close to a young one. If it was going to hurt you, it would have. It really is a fascinating encounter, and it's those little details are nice because it helps because someone else might have seen that. I get a lot of
odd. It certainly had its eyes on me, or its eye on me. It was watching me the whole time, and I didn't realize it. You know, I didn't see it. If I wouldn't have heard those flies, I would have never seen it.
Do you think it had been shot? I mean, what do you think caused the injury? I know we're just speculating, but
what came to my mind was it had been in a fight with another one of its kind. Maybe that's what I thought when I first saw it. It looked like, you know, something that had maybe hit it and scratched it. You know, it was just it didn't look like something that had happened recently. It looked like an old injury that had healed, but its eye was just crooked, you know, and pointing way too far off to the left, and the right eye looked normal.
Yeah, it's kind of like Friday. You ever seen the movie Friday?
That's
way off topic. But you know the guy, he used to be a wrestler. The big guy,
Debo.
Yeah, Debo. That's what I was thinking of when you were, I don't know if the audience knows what we're talking about, but Friday's a classic. But it reminds me of Debo, you know, it's like the word, you know, this guy's eyes crooked, this guy's built like a monster, and he's like
huge.
And he's actually, I've seen interviews, he's actually a really nice guy, but in all the movies, he always plays the bad guy. And it always cracked me up because it's like, they pick like the ugliest guy, the, you know, he's got one eye going one way and the other eye's going the other way, and he's built like a Sasquatch, and now you ran into something that's like that, that's actually a Sasquatch, and it's like, oh Jesus, you know what I mean? Why can't I run into Patty, you know, where she's fleeting, she's running the opposite way, and
Just going away from me. I mean, this thing was it was so intimidating. I went to the bathroom by myself. You know, I just did. But as soon as I realized it was going one way, I was going the other.
I don't blame you. And you're right; they are very physically intimidating. They are very intimidating.
It was imposing, man. I mean, that good God Almighty, that thing was huge, man. That was a large dude.
Well, you have to keep me up to date. Let me know if anything happens in Colorado. I'd be real curious if you go out there and you find anything out there.
Well, yeah, I'm in the process of meeting some people here, and I've met a couple of people that are willing to go up there. And you know, you go through Estes Park, and on the other side of Estes Park, you're in the Rocky Mountain National Park. As soon as you go through Estes Park, then you're in Rocky Mountain National Park. So I've heard many people say, you know, they've had encounters up there. And there's been 411 people missing up there too, you know, in Rocky Mountain National Park. So, you know, it's just, I'm just not used to the mountains. I'm trying to get used to them though. It's a lot drier out here than if it was Mississippi, it would be 106 and 98% humidity. And it's about 70 degrees here and about 30% humidity, maybe.
Yeah. I love Colorado. I got family that lives out there. I absolutely love it. Love the weather. I love the sun, and it is a beautiful place, and it's interesting. In Colorado, I don't get a ton of really aggressive reports. I mean, I've had a few, but for the most part, you really don't get a lot of aggressive reports. And it's interesting, even in the encounter that you just recounted, they weren't, you know, if this thing wanted you, or if it was pissed off, you were too close to a young one, it could have had you in 2 seconds, and it didn't. And those encounters always fascinate me, because it seems to be a lot of what they do is more of intimidation. Go away. I'm going to throw rocks. I'm going to throw a fit. If you ever watch like gorillas on YouTube or chimpanzees on YouTube, they kind of do the same thing. They'll break branches. They'll shake branches. They will.
Well, I guess, you know, if I would have, when I saw the little one, you know, if I would have chased it, it probably would have been an entirely different outcome, you know, but I didn't. I just stood there. And, you know, it's a good thing I did, because that big one was standing there watching me the whole time. I know it, you know. And if I would have made one move toward that little one, that would have been my butt. You know, I just know it. I mean, so I'm glad I didn't, you know, try to chase it, take a picture of it or something dumbass like that, you know.
Yeah.
That could have been really bad.
Yeah, no, it could have been. And I've talked to other people who have run into little ones like that, and they think it's a bear cub until it stands up and looks at them. And then it goes from a bear cub to a like a chimpanzee, or people describe it like a little monkey. Very odd, you know. It's rare that you ever actually see a little one like that. I can't say that I've had too many people run into little ones. I mean, I've had them on the show, but not, they're far and few between.
What? Well, it was just the way the trail was. I came around a big curve, and then it straightened out, and there he was, you know, up there about 75 to 100 yards. And the big one was a lot closer to me, but I didn't realize it, you know. So I don't think the little one heard me until I, you know, stepped on the stick, because he was busy doing something, you know. I mean, and so many times, that's what you hear. That's when you see these things, is when the kids do something they're not supposed to do. They get away from the adults, and then somebody will see them, or they'll see a big one going to pick them up or something, and there's a sighting. But yeah, it was very weird.
Yeah, it very weird. Like it. Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing it very much.
Well, sure, yeah. I'm more than happy to. I enjoy the program, and thank you very much for listening to me.
Thanks, Mike. And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. Actually, you know what? Hang on a second. I'm going to play a different song tonight. This goes out to Woody and Russell. I sure wish you guys the best at the International Bigfoot Conference. I'll see you there. I hope to see all the audience there. You know, the song actually has a lot of wisdom to it. Hope you guys listen to it. Have a good night, everyone.
On a warm summer's eve, on a train bound for nowhere, met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice." So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, "If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done." Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out his cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, when to hold up, know when to fold up, walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up.